This fact, which is a very important one, is made clear by the teaching of the three vimokshas, or three liberations. These are common to all schools. The three vimokshas, or three liberations, are, first of all, apranihita, the aimless, the directionless, or the without bias, that mental state which is not inclined in any direction because it has no likes and no dislikes, which is perfectly still, perfectly poised. Then the animitta, the signless, that which is devoid of all thought, which transcends all thought, which can't be indicated as being this or that, which is above and beyond all conception, and therefore all knowledge in the purely intellectual sense. And lastly, thirdly, shunyata, which as you know means the voidness. Not just voidness in the sense of emptiness, but voidness more in the sense, very broadly speaking, of reality. Emptiness of unreality, if you like. Now these three liberations, as they're called, the aimless or the directionless, the signless, and the voidness, these represent what we may call different aspects of the unconditioned. The unconditioned as it appears from different points of view. And the unconditioned itself, therefore, can be attained, can be realized through any one of them. You can penetrate into the unconditioned through the aimless, through the signless, and through the voidness. Now what concerns us here is that the three liberations correspond with the three characteristics. And they correspond because the conditioned itself corresponds with the unconditioned. Because the two, as we call them, conditioned and unconditioned, are really the obverse and reverse of the same coin, as it were. If one concentrates on the conditioned as suffering, if one pays attention to the unsatisfactoriness of conditioned existence, if one goes deep into this, if one penetrates to the bottom of this, then one realizes the unconditioned as aimless. Because when you see the suffering inherent in conditioned things, you've no particular aim as regards conditioned things. You don't want this, you don't want that. You're just still, as it were, without any desire, without any aim, without any direction, just poised. So when you go into the conditioned through the aspect of suffering, you go into the unconditioned through the aspect of aimless or directionless. Then in the same way, when you concentrate, or if you concentrate on the conditioned as impermanent, transitory, changing all the time, with no permanent identity, then going to the bottom of that, coming up the other side as it were, you realize the unconditioned as the signless, the devoid of all concept, the transcending all thought, if you like, the eternal. Not the eternal which continues through time, but the eternal which transcends time. And thirdly, if you concentrate on the conditioned as devoid of self, devoid of individuality, devoid of I, devoid of you, devoid of me, devoid of mine, then one approaches, one realizes the unconditioned as shunyata, as the voidness. Now very much more could be said on this part of the subject. Especially one could say very much more about the voidness, shunyata. But we're keeping that for another occasion. In a few weeks' time we'll be speaking on the mystery of the void. Perhaps we shall be able to lift just a little corner of the mystery on that occasion. Meanwhile, so far as today's talk is concerned, I hope I've been able to make clear at least in a general way, the nature of these three lakshanas, or three characteristics of conditioned existence. They are of central importance, not just in Buddhist philosophy, but in the Buddhist spiritual life. According to the Buddha, at least, we don't really see conditioned existence until we learn to see it in these terms. If we see anything else, that's just an illusion, just a projection. But once we start seeing the conditioned, the suffering, impermanent, and there's no self, then little by little, gradually, we get a glimpse of the unconditioned, and then that glimpse, of course, guides us on our way.